Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Well, I am so excited to be here today to share. You know, we've been going over the series, Running with the Giants. And running with the giants is running with some of the giants of our faith, finding out what they had done and knowing that they're watching us do that. You know, but before we do go any further than that, I want to give you a little bit of a revelation that I got when we were listening to the song Reckless Love. Anybody like that song? It's an amazing song. Reckless Love. But here's what can happen, and this is what the Lord showed me over and over, is that sometimes we can become familiar. We can become, now listen, this is free. This isn't even the message. This is going to be good. Someone's going to get a revelation today of what this is about. It's, we can become familiar with something so much that we don't honor it. Well, what does that mean? Well, see, we can listen to a song like Reckless Love, and it talks about his love, how he comes and gets us. He'll leave the 99. And because we've heard about his grace so much, we've heard about his love so much, we've heard about the death, the burial, the resurrection so much that it becomes so familiar that we don't honor it. Let me give you an example. Let me give you two. The first one, I'm not proud of. So don't judge me. It goes something like this. I've been married 38 years. Some of you are like, I'm not even 38 years old. But thank you. Thank you. I've been married 38 years. We've been together 40. Well, and I'm not proud, but my wife will go get her hair did. She'll go do her hair and she'll come home. And she'll stand at the door and I'll come in. And I see right now wives and stuff. They're already elbowing husbands. And she'll come in the door or I'll walk in the door and she'll go, hey. And I'm like, hey. She's like, so you notice anything different? And I'm like, new blouse? No. I told you I wasn't proud. I wasn't proud. But I see, that is an honoring. You see, because we become so familiar, right? We can become so familiar with something that we don't honor it. No, I got to get better at that. Let me tell you how my wife is helping me get better at that. She's kind of figured it at this point. Like, he's a dude. He needs help. So just yesterday, we were sitting there and she goes, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm not going to be home Tuesday if you try to get a hold of me because I'm getting my hair done. And I'm going, Tuesday, hair done. So I know, so she's given me clues to remember, you know, and I know what some of the women are thinking. Well, if you really loved her, you would know. Yeah, yeah, I get it, but I'm doing the best I can. So she's given me clues and I'm writing them down. The second example is this, a familiarity. For those of you maybe online that maybe are watching and don't know, well, we drive by what is called the eighth wonder of the world every day here in Lincoln County. And it's called the Longenberger Basket. It is this humongous building, ginormous building that looks like a basket. Well, Larry, what do you mean by that? I drive by it 5 or 6 days a week. And I will glance at it maybe once. Because I've become so familiar with that building, as big and as enormous as it is, I don't even see it. So I don't know who this is for. Even if it's for me, we can do that with God sometimes. See, his grace, his mercy, calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can take that for granted. It can become so familiar that we just pass right by it and never look at God. That's good, isn't it? We could go home on that, but we're not going to. I'm not going to let you, but I'm going to speed this up. We are running with the giants. I'm excited. And actually, before we get into the word, I have to fess up. I had to ask God to forgive me. When Josh was handing out who was going to get what with running with the giants, Darren's sitting here and he's laughing because he's the one that he made me sin. Do you ever do that? He made me do it, you know. Josh was handing out like, hey, so-and-so's going to do Abraham and somebody's going to do Mary and someone can do Joshua and there's all these things. And I'm sitting there going, man, I can't wait. I'm stoked because I want Jonah. I'm going to get Jonah somehow. And Darren, you have Jonah. And I'm like, dude, seriously? I'm a preacher, man. I can preach Jonah. No, I can preach Jonah in about 2 minutes. And I can say, we can go home. And Darren got it. So I had to repent. I had to pray. Because I was really angry at him for just a minute. Ugh, Darren. Because, see, my preaching would have went something like this. See, here's Jonah. Here's this guy that is called of God. God is supposed to, you know, God got in his life and said, Jonah, I want you to do something. Have you ever done this? God tells you to do something and you go the complete opposite way. You don't even go in the right direction. And Jonah takes off and he goes in a different direction. So he gets on a boat. The waves come up. They start slamming against the boat. Jonah fesses up and says, hey, I'm supposed to be going to Nineveh. I'm the guy. This is the problem. So they throw him overboard. And a big old fish just swallows him up, right? This is me preaching. I'm doing Jonah, man. This is going to be good. And so there's this fish and it swallows him up. And he's in the belly of this fish for 3 days. And what you got to remember is that digestive things start happening. Enzymes and juices and acids. And so here's this guy, his hair is starting to get bleached out. So he looks like a surfer from Florida and his skin's getting bleached out. And he's starting to look really, really bad and pale and stuff. And then all of a sudden this fish just dumps him out right out from the ocean, right onto the beach. And there's people standing there in Nineveh and he's all sloshy and bleached out and he's sloshing. He's got seaweed stuck in his teeth and is in his ears and he sloshes up and he goes, repent. See, I don't know about you, but I would repent. See, that's a good story. And then I could say we could go home. But no, I get Isaiah. Great. Well, what I have to tell you is that I learned in my research how awesome Isaiah. See, I got something even better. You see, I got to learn that Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. And listen, in the book of Isaiah, read your Bible in the book of Isaiah. It is a prophetic word. It is a prophetic picture of the Messiah. What he would look like. How he would come in the virgin birth. How he would be crucified and beaten and buried in a grave and resurrect. There are 300 prophetic words and prophecies in the Bible of the coming Messiah. And Isaiah really depicts in his prophetic picture one of the most accurate, one of the most specific pictures of who Jesus the Messiah was, the prophet Isaiah. I'm like, that is awesome. So I started learning about Isaiah and I learned he was a prophet. And here's the thing about prophets, which kind of stinks if you were a prophet in the Old Testament. Prophets typically met their fate by death because they typically would work for a king. And if a king did not like what the prophet said that God had told them, and if you were a prophet, you just told the truth. See, sometimes we have prophets in our lives. Somebody, God will send somebody your way that says, hey, you shouldn't be living with that person. I know it's too early, right? You shouldn't be living with that person. You shouldn't be doing drugs. You got to get straight. You got to fix. This isn't right. And what we do, God sending someone to get us right with God. And what we do is simply do this. We don't kill the prophet, but what we do is, hey, nice seeing you. Don't call me. I'll call you. That's what we do. We send him away. Well, then I found out that not only was Isaiah a prophet, served under, I believe, 5 kings, is it history, it is believed that he was sawed, cut in half. Whoa. One of the kings didn't like what he said, and they cut this guy in half. Insane. Well, let me set the stage for the first scripture we're going to read. And it goes something like this. Isaiah, the first king that he served, he absolutely loved. He was a good king. He loved God. He was doing things the way that he should have. But then the king had died. And what the king had died, now listen to me, follow me, lean in, listen to this. What the king had died from was leprosy. The king died from leprosy. And the reason why he got leprosy was because he had things out of order. He was a king and he wanted to start operating as a high priest. So he started operating into the high priest where he shouldn't have been in his calling, and he contracted and got leprosy and died. And Isaiah was sad. We're going to pick up in Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. But what I want you to understand is that Isaiah, he was super sad. He was super sad because he loved this king and he loved serving him. And this is what Isaiah was going through. And he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, which are angels. And they were calling to one another. These angels were. This is what Isaiah saw. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. See, sometimes our greatest pain can be the catalyst to our greatest gain. The greatest pain. Isaiah would not have seen this image. God would not have shown this image to him if he was not in this pain, and God showed it to him. So sometimes in our greatest pain, it can become the greatest catalyst to our greatest gain. Some of you maybe that work out, or maybe have lifted weights, or maybe you just know, and you've heard the old quote, no pain, no gain, right? Anybody ever heard that? No pain, no gain, man. No pain. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. As I've gotten older, I just prefer to say, no pain, no pain. I don't like pain. I'm okay with no gain. But you see, in the Lord, he wants us to make gain. But it's by faith. It's by faith. So I want to give you an illustration that through faith. See, it was by faith in the book of Hebrews. It was written to the Hebrews because it was believed that the people were frustrated. They were hurt. They were depressed. They weren't sure of themselves. They were second guessing God's word. And so the writers, Paul, Luke, Barnabas, the people that were writing this, what they said was, by faith, Abraham. And they were encouraging them. It was an encouragement book to the people that were just frustrated. Because by faith, you see, I want you to understand, we walk by faith, not by sight. See, the opposite of faith is not doubt. It's sight. See, it's what we see that causes us to lose faith. Let me give you this example. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to walk out this door, and you're still going to hear my voice, okay? And Darren, if you stay there, I'm going to knock three times on the ceiling if you want. Okay, that's not true. That was Tony Orlando. Some of you have. You younger people are like, I have no idea. Google it. Look him up. YouTube him. Tony Orlando. I am going to knock three times on the door. I'm going to be outside this door. But to show you what it means to have faith, even though you can't see, you're going to hear me. You know I'm there. He's going to let me in when I knock. But see, faith is believing, hey, Larry's here. You know, I got him. I can hear him. But I'm going to knock the door. It's really hot, so please let me in. I might come back in. All right, so I'm shutting the door. You guys can hear me. See, what's important is that we've got to remember is that by faith, Abraham did what he did. By faith, Jonah did what he did. By faith, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. By faith, Moses was able to stand at the sea and the seas be parted. But you see, sometimes by faith, we think that God is coming through this door when indeed God is coming through another door. So what I want to show you in your lives, we all like to quote, you know, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Does that mean that all things are good that happens to us? No. You see, sometimes our faith is based on, it's got to be there. I thought it was there. I knew it was there. And God is working through a tragedy to bring forth a triumph in your life. Quit looking at bad things as if something is wrong with you, something is wrong with someone else, something is wrong with God, because there's nothing wrong with God, there's nothing wrong with you. You've got to keep your faith focused on Him who we've trusted in. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's good. That's for somebody today. That's for somebody today that's struggling with a sickness, that's maybe struggling with a disease, that's struggling with a relationship, was struggling with drug addiction, that's struggling with losing a job, with struggling with finances, and going, God, if I was really saved and I'm going to church, I'm checking the box, but if everything was great, then everything, and I was close to you, then everything would be great. And that's not true. Because simply it says, by faith, Moses believe what he believed, and the Red Sea was parted. Let me give you an illustration of Moses. Moses stood at the Red Sea. When God told him what he was going to do, he said, trust in me. You see, when God says, be still and know that I am God, it doesn't mean, he didn't say stand still. And Moses went to the edge of the Red Sea and he cried out to God, the Bible says. He cried out and he said, God, what are you going to do? And God said, I didn't tell you to stop. Keep moving. And he walked in, got his feet wet. But let me tell you, he kept walking by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith. My feet's getting wet. Water's up to my knees. I don't know what God is going to do. But God said, just keep walking. Keep moving. I'm believing in faith. And guess what happened? The waters receded. And God delivered his people from death. Amen. I saw that going a whole lot better than that when I practiced this at home. Amen. 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 God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, even in things that we don't think are coming from God. You know, I've lifted my whole life and I've competed. And some of them in competitions, what you got to understand, the only way to get stronger. Now, just bear with me. Some of you that don't lift, that's fine. But listen to me. In lifting, whether you're deadlifting, squatting, or bench pressing, the only way to get stronger, and we used to say this in the gym, add another plate. Add another plate. Add another plate. You see, we like to do this. Oh, I'm blessed. I got a new job. I'm blessed. I got a new car. God is good. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I got this. I received that. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm going on vacation. I'm blessed. You don't ever hear anybody say, I'm struggling right now. I'm blessed. Add another plate. Add another plate. See, because it's in the struggle, it's in the resistance. The only way that I was ever even invited to the World Cup old man bench press competition was because I added more plate and had resistance and got stronger because of the resistance. Do not run away from the resistance. Invite it. Invite it. Add another plate. Amen. Well, Isaiah was in the presence of God. And here's what I find funny is that, see, when we see God clearly, when he saw God and he saw the angels in that vision, when we see God clearly, we see ourselves even clearer. When you can see God for who he is, it's amazing what it'll do to see who you are. Amen. So in the very next verse, after he sees all this and the temple was filled with smoke, it says in Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah cries out, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined. He's in the presence of a living God. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. It's an amazing thing when we get into the presence of a living God. What that can do. Well, I don't want to stop there because it gets better. We're going to go right on in. See, God removes our past so he can redeem our future. God heard Isaiah. He saw, he knew what Isaiah felt, and here's what he did for him. Isaiah 6, 6 through 8 says, then, just a few verses, just a verse over, then one of the seraphim, which is an angel, and it's an angel of fire, an angel, a big angel of fire that was shouting unto God, holy, 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 King of kings, Lord of lords. One of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and because it was hot, which he had taken with tongs from the altar of God. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah said, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? And Isaiah, being very smart, here I am, Lord. Send me. See, that is a picture in Isaiah of salvation. See, he felt like he wasn't worthy. Whoa, I'm a wicked man. Wicked comes out of my mouth. And God said, wait. And he sent an angel. And an angel came and touched his lips with the coal and said, you have been cleansed. You see, that's a picture of Jesus. That's a picture of Jesus, the Messiah, coming as a lamb to the slaughter. Died, bled, crucified, and resurrected. You see, in our lives sometimes, guys, we can't have a resurrection unless we have a crucifixion. Hello? There is no resurrection without a crucifixion. Sometimes there's things in our lives that have got to be crucified so that we can rise above those ashes. Amen. That's just good stuff. See, it's amazing because things will whisper in your ear like this. You're not good enough. You haven't done all the right stuff. You didn't come from the right family. You didn't go to church all your life. Well, here's what I want you to know. In some of those by faiths, in the story of running with the giants in chapter 11, it says, by faith, now listen to me, by faith, the prostitute, by faith, the prostitute, by faith, the prostitute Rahab was delivered because she believed in God and she hid away the spies and everyone else was destroyed and she was saved. The prostitute Rahab. Guys, there's not anything that you could do that can keep you from the love of God. Nothing. See, but we're those people where we tend to do this. You know, we tend to say, it was a good day in the Lord today. I didn't cuss. I didn't kick the dog. I didn't steal anything. I didn't beat this person. I didn't get angry at work. So, hey, today, me and God are like this. Well, see, that's a choice that we've made because what I want you to understand is that our God doesn't work that way. Our God is with us. He'll never forsake us and never leave us. He loves you the same today, this moment, as much as he did when you were messing up. His love for us cannot and will not change because that's who he is. And that's great news. Well, we're going to read a scripture. And in closing, if I could have, I'm going to have Ronnie, because he's an athlete. And I'm going to have Ronnie, if he could come up. And I'm going to read this scripture in a minute. But before I do, I want to give you another illustration. How many of you just love analogies and illustrations? I do. It helps me because I'm really not that smart. So I have these handcuffs. And for all you weirdos, yeah, this didn't come from my house, so, okay. I got them from the Licking County Jail. And what I want to show you in a minute when I read the scriptures, how these can be, if you don't already know, these can be cumbersome. And it talks about running a race. So, here's what we're going to do. Ronnie, you okay with this?
So far.
So far, okay. He doesn't know how this is going to look. I think it would be fun to be a cop sometimes. You know what I'm saying? How many of you want, you know, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. All right, yeah, do. Okay, wait, we'll stop. All right, that was getting out of control. So, having too much fun. So, now, I'm being really nice because I think what policemen typically do is they slap the cuffs on you, right? Is that true? Okay, that was the right answer. That was, see, I looked at him, I said, is that right? He goes, I don't know. That was absolutely the right answer. That was perfect. I got to make sure I get these right this time. So did you shave your legs?
Yeah, just for you.
Oh, I hope so. Okay. Well, that's going to help me. This is really awkward. I'm really glad I'm not a policeman. So let's get these on there, hopefully. Hey, you did shave your legs, dude. That's great. Okay, yeah. And I did it again, didn't I? I got him. That's right. It's going to make it even harder.
Oh, boy.
So this is good. So he's going to stand here for just a minute. I know he's not going to go too far because, and I got them all. So they're all jacked up. So let's read as we look at him and he entertains us for just a minute. So, all right. And he's tried to break out of them. And I told him, dude, you're not stronger than me. And I tried to break out of him, couldn't do it. So in Hebrews 12:1, we're going to close with this. If I could have Daniel, if he could come up wherever he's at. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, now it goes on to give us some instruction to the Hebrews. He's saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses like Jonah, Joshua, all those great saints, let us throw off, there's two things. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin. So we don't like to, that three letter word, sin. We don't like to talk about that. But guys, gals, there's a reason why it brings it up. There's a reason why it brings it up. We're in a race. If you're a Christian, what you need to know is that the Christian walk is not a playground. It's a battleground. It's not a playground. It's a battleground. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And it goes on to say, those things that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You know, one thing I know, and I'm going to have him try to run here in a minute. I don't run at all. I should. I get that, but I don't. But here's what I do know. I've been to races. I've watched. Participated that way. Yay! I've been cheering on. And I've been to marathons. And here's what I'll tell you. I've seen guys in shorts like this big. And they're like barely there. No shirt. Not wearing a whole lot of stuff. Even hats they get rid of. Their shoes, they like weigh 2 ounces. You see why? They're running a race. They're not going to take a weight. For me, I've never once been to a marathon and see somebody strap a 10-pound vest on them along with a big coat and run in jeans. They don't do that. They run the race that is set before them because they want to do well. So they get rid of everything that so easily stops them and they don't entangle themselves with sin. This is what it looks like, Ronnie, when you try to mix the world with what God has called you to do in your life. Ronnie, if you can you step down for us?
Yeah,
I'll try. You got him. All right. Whoa. All right. He's got it. All right. So we're going to watch him. Think of, he's got to run 26.2 miles. And you always got to put the point two. Because here's what I've learned. If I talk to a marathoner and hey, you ran 26 miles. They're like, point two. I'm like, I never forget that. So take off running. Let's see how fast you can. Okay, that looks weird. You don't look like, you know, you're not, you can still run the race. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You can run that race. Run on back this way. See, look at him. He's entangled. Do you guys get the picture? When we entangle ourselves with the world and the things of the world and jobs and money and people and other things, bear with me, and other things, we're not able to run this race. You can run it, but you're going to be really, really ineffective and slow. Who can help me? Darren, can you help? Oh, wait. I think it. Seriously, I'm just kidding. Here you go. if you can help him out, if you guys go over here, give Ronnie a big round of applause. You see, there's things that entangle us, and if we get entangled, then we miss opportunities like this. And I say this like for the 10th time in closing. I had the opportunity last night to go to kind of a reunion. It was with a bunch of guys I graduated with. They were going to be at Johnstown. So I went. 42 years. 42 years since some of these. I haven't seen them 42 years. And I know some of you are doing the math. If Larry graduated when he was 22 from high school. No. If he graduated when he was 18, 40, that's 60 years. You know, so I get it now. I'm 60. So I go, and all of us guys are there. Man, it was awesome. I haven't seen some of these guys in 42 years. We're hugging each other, and we're embellishing our football and baseball stories. You know, Larry, do you remember when you hit that home run? It went over the school, and it was in another county. And I'm like, yeah, man, I got a hold of that. That was great. You know, and you're all lying about your stories. Remember the one football game you ran for like 5,000 yards in one game? I'm like, yeah, no, I don't. But yeah, I ran for like, and so we're lying to each other, saying how cool it was. And then we're like, you know, hey, do you remember when you busted the windshield with a snowball, which that was true? And I'm like, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And then all of a sudden it got kind of serious. We were done with all the laughs. We hadn't seen each other in a while. And one of the individuals who was a super good friend of mine, he said, hey, man, other guys kind of went away and he moved in to me. And I don't know if he knew I was a staff pastor or knew anything about me. And he says, hey, can I tell you something, but you can't tell anybody else? I just need to tell you something. Now, here's what I knew. It wasn't that he was going to give me a check for $1 million and I shouldn't tell anybody else. I just knew in my spirit that wasn't it. When somebody leans in and he says, hey, can I tell you something, but I don't want you to tell anyone else. I'm like, sure, man, what's up? And he says, 2 weeks ago. No, right before this, he was jubile, laughing, part of the whole hysterics of what we were doing, chucking it up. And he says, 2 weeks ago, I ended up in the hospital. I tried to commit suicide. Took a bunch of pills. And I was shocked. I was shocked. I didn't know what to do for a second. But you see, then something rose up inside of me. And I thought, not today. Not today. I'm tired of the devil lying to people. See, there's only two things that he can do. He tries to deceive, like make things look like it's not there. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. Or he will lie to an individual who's 60 years old, who's 10 years old, who's whatever years old, and say, you're not worth something. Because he ended up telling him, and I said, can you tell me why you wanted to kill yourself? And he said, you've all heard this. I just thought everybody would be better without me. It would be better without me. I think my time's over. I felt worthless. I think my life is done. I feel empty. I feel useless. He's retired, makes good money, has a 6-year-old granddaughter. And that rose up inside of me. And I said, hey, I looked him in the face and I said, hey, I rebuked that in Jesus' name. Now, he didn't know what to do. I don't know if he went to church or not, but we were going to church. We were about to go to church. And I said, hey, this is no time. See, the Christian walk is not a playground. Because he told me, he goes, well, they said I might be bipolar. They said I would have depression. I said, those all might be true, but I'm going to tell you what I know. Silver and gold have I not, but what I got is this. I want to tell you something, my friend. Those are lies. It's all lies. You need to know that God loves you. He created you from the beginning, and your years to come are going to be better. You got a 6-year-old granddaughter that you need to be around. You need to help raise because you're a good man, and you are worth something. God doesn't create junk. Don't believe that lie, my friend. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Something rose up inside of him. I saw his countenance change. His face changed because when he was telling me his story, I could see this heaviness on him. And when you start speaking life, the word of God, the breath of life into an individual, things change. You see, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. People were talking all around us. They were drinking. They were carrying on. But I was having church in a chair with this guy at this moment for this appointed time. And I told him, I said, sir, do you think for 1 minute that it's by chance that we're here at this moment? And I'm praying for you. And I started speaking life into his life. And he walked away and he hugged me. And I said, I need your number. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you. And I'm going to make sure you're good because God has a plan for your life. Why don't we bow our heads? I want you to know that God has a plan for your life today. He has a plan for your life. Maybe you've been lied to. Maybe you're standing at the Red Sea, not knowing it's going to part. Not knowing. Maybe it's a drug addiction. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a disappointment. Maybe it's a death in the family. But what I want you to know is keep moving and walking in faith because God will meet you where you're at and he will do what he said he was going to do in your life, and the remainder of your life will be greater than anything you've ever done. Father, I speak life to these people right now in Jesus' name. God, we are to be not only hearers of the word, but we are to be doers. God, allow us not to be just consumers. Allow us not to sit in a pew and say, God, what do you have for me? But to say, God, what do you want me to do? Well, I'm glad you asked that because, God, we know on July 28th, Saturday, from 9 to noon, we need people to get out in this community on Serve Day. So, God, I pray, get them, God. Speak to their hearts right now. What is it that you would have them to do that day so that they can get out in a lost and dying world and serve others to show forth your love? Father, we thank you for it. If there's one that's here that doesn't know you, God, I pray, like Isaiah, they would cry out to you and say, oh God, save me. I see who I am. I see my wicked ways. God, I receive your son. I receive your son who died for me and rose again. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Call me out of darkness into light. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you've done today, for the revelation of what you've given us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you received something today. God has revealed something to especially you as an individual. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.